So how many of you have been snowboarding? Well, if you want to pray more, start snowboarding, because it's very scary, especially for us older people. I did it like one or two runs years ago, and that was enough. I put skis back on. Okay, I've been reading in the book of Psalms about many things, but David wrote most of those Psalms, about half of them, it said, and you can see his heart. You can see that he loves God, that he's calling out to God in adoration and need, and so many different areas. It just really opens up a view of who David is, and I think that's really neat. Psalms are basically sacred songs or poems that are sung. And it's evident that he had a lot of time on his hands. As a shepherd, he wrote a lot of psalms. And I think that oftentimes our lives are so busy that we don't take the time to really think about God like he had that opportunity. And today, as we talk about prayer, I really want you to think about who God is in your life. How do you see God? Who is he to you? Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And David's heart was really for God. He talks about God continually in his Psalms. And I think that we neglect that. We don't think about who God really is to us in our lives. And so when we go to prayer, it's almost like, well, you don't really have that relationship. And I think it's really important. Psalm 20, one example. "In times of trouble, may the Lord answer your cry. May the name of God of Jacob keep you safe from all harm." You know, I think a lot of us pray for safety, especially in an emergency. But like when we were leaving Warren, going down to Detroit Mountain to go skiing and snowboarding, we prayed for safety. The roads were ice covered, except where they threw salt down. We prayed for safety. And I think that's an easy thing to pray for. David prayed to be safe, and it's important, but it's not the most important thing. It continues, "May he send you help from from his sanctuary and strengthen you from Jerusalem. May he remember all your gifts and look favorably upon your burnt offerings." Well, we don't do many burnt offerings here, but it applies to our lives. "May he grant your heart's desires." Now, you like that one. We all have desires. We all have heart's desires, and we want God to grant those desires to us. "And make all your plans succeed." Who has ever made a plan? I know I got to get some hands raised here. Come on. All right. Some of you are still sleeping, but I know you made plans, even if you didn't raise your hand. God knows that we make plans, and he wants to help us succeed in life, and he wants our plans to be in line with his will. "May we shout for joy when we hear of your victory and raise a victory banner in the name of our God. May the Lord answer all your prayers." Every Sunday morning, we've been praying, joys and concerns. The joys are answered prayer, oftentimes, something that we've prayed for on a previous Sunday. We are to have a victory banner in the name of the Lord. Shout for joy. We are to get excited. You know, as a Scandinavian, I am really laid back. I don't know about what nationality you guys come from, but we're way too laid back. You know, I got to tell a story. My brother-in-law was from New England, and he came to visit my dad's house with all my siblings, and he came walking in. It was so quiet. He came up to somebody and said, "Who died?" I come from a really quiet, laid-back family. I'm probably the most loud of my siblings, maybe not, but seems like it. But we are to shout for joy. Get excited for God. As we get to know Him and how He impacts our lives, that should be our attitude, our perspective. So when you pray, are you focused on your need? Or are you focused on your God, our God? What are you focused on? I think if you read some of the Psalms, you'll see that David was continually focused on God. His songs or psalms were really his heart, kind of a prayer in song. So what is prayer to you? Are you telling God what you need or requesting from God many, many needs? Or are you actually coming to Him and conversing with Him? Getting to know Him better, closer, talking to God and listening. It's easy, like I mentioned earlier, it's easy if you have an emergency, it's easy to call out to God. Years ago, I bought a motorcycle. A long time ago, before I was married, and drove out to this farmhouse, paid for it, sun was going down, time to ride this bike home. I don't think I had maybe an hour of riding on a little dirt bike. So I hop on this 650 Yamaha and pull out of the driveway onto the gravel road, and it's a little squirrely, and I got it under control. First corner, I'm off the corner into the ditch, riding in the ditch. I thought, Lord, help me. I was praying. I survived that. But how many of you are praying in times of emergency only? That's not what prayer is for. Prayer is for getting closer to God, living our lives with God, interacting with God. Each Sunday, we begin our time here with music and worship. And it's to draw our hearts closer to God, to get our focus back on Him. You know, we've had busy weeks or a weekend, and worship, music, really can draw us close to help us to really interact or see God more clearly. Do you feel that when you're here singing songs and worship? Do you start to feel drawing closer to God? Well, prayer can do that also. Our goal in life is really to bring glory to God. So how can we do that? Is prayer a part of that? I think it is. I think it is. As we pray for these people today, we are bringing God glory, because now He can answer that prayer and receive glory for answering that prayer. Some cultures worship gods, but not the one true God, the God of the Bible. You know, as if you read about the Native Americans, they search for a God to worship. They would worship the sun or the moon or the wolf. Many different things, but not the one true God. Their hearts were good. They were desiring to pray and worship to their God, but they just couldn't figure it out. Like David did. David is a good example, spending so much time getting to know his God. We should take his example and draw close to God and get to know Him better. Do you spend time meditating and in God's Word and in prayer, drawing closer to God? In the New Testament, Paul urges us to do that. And Luke read from 1 Timothy 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made by everyone, for everyone. And so that's us. We are to pray. Paul is urging us to pray. And there's many aspects of prayer that are mentioned. The first one I want to mention is adoration. Pray with adoration. Even Jesus began the model prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Even Jesus was showing us that importance of adoration, this God who created us, who created the world, we get to talk to him one-on-one. Begin with adoration because of our love for him, because of our knowledge of who he is. Also, pray with confession. We are sinners, and we all have sinned, and we all need to confess, especially to God. So pray with adoration and with confession, but also with thanksgiving. As we mentioned, shout for joy. You have things to be thankful for in your life. Even though there's troubles in your life, don't always just focus on the bad things. The glass is half full. Be thankful for that. And tell God, thank you, because he has blessed you. We are a blessed nation. We are a nation founded on godly principles. And he has blessed us because of that. And we all have needs, so pray for with petition that he would bless you, that answer those needs, that he would bless others. Pray with intercession. As we did this morning, we prayed for many people. God is glorified by answered prayer. Back to number one, adoration. David, you can see over and over again, he's praying with adoration for God. And as I mentioned, Jesus Christ talked about in the model prayer, but then also in Psalm 8, verse 1, Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. David is giving God glory. He's putting him, he's telling us who he is in his life. Put him in on a pedestal. How majestic is your name in all the earth. Showing reverence and adoration. That's really what worship is. And I think prayer needs worship hand in hand. If you don't go to God with a worshipful heart, with adoration in your prayer time, I think you're missing the boat. I think you need to first realize who this God is and go to him appropriately, like you see in a movie where you approach some king or some important ruler and they bow down like far away from him, and they give him so much adoration and so much reverence. God desires way more than that. And sometimes we don't even give him half of that or anything. God desires our adoration. So, are you going to God in only times of emergency when your motorcycle's going off the corner? Or whatever happens in your life? I'm sure you have stories about times of emergency. And you call out to God. That's easy. Are you calling out to him every hour, every minute of the day? Pray without ceasing, God's word says. Well, that's tough. But if you think about it, it's really a communication that goes on through the day. God desires for us to reach out to him. It's said that we make 2,000 decisions a day. This is one of the guys at Faith Walkers was talking about it. He had a bottle of water. He said, should I take a drink now? Okay. Should I have another drink? I mean, we have so many decisions to make in a day. Now, you don't have to ask God if you should get a drink of water. But there's a lot of times that you have opportunity to have God help you make a decision. Whether it's a big decision, like buying a house or a car, or a small decision. What should I do today? Who should I help? What should I read in Scripture? Continually talking to God. And I think reading your Bible really primes the pump for helping us to want to be in prayer, to want to be conversing with God. Philippians 4 is a good example. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Why would we rejoice? God has blessed us. We want to reach out to God and say thank you. Or verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. So many of us get anxious about things, whether it's the icy road, driving south of town here the other day, or whether there's a storm moving in or whatever it is, job situation and family situation, cast all your cares on God because He cares for you. It says by prayer and petition. God wants us to pray. He wants us to be in contact with Him. Like we saw David continually singing and praying and meditating. We can do that. Verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, all of these things. Think about these things, and that can draw you back to God. Verses in Scripture, as we listen and read, as we read or meditate on them, they can draw our hearts back to God because He is all of these things. Genesis 3:8 talks about how God was walking in the garden. God created us in His image. And we can be lonely people. If we're alone, secluded, I've got a friend in town that's a lonesome guy. He tells me every time I visit him, I'm so lonesome. We have a need for relationships. God created us with that need. And I believe that He has a desire for us to relate to Him, to be in relationship with Him, to be in contact with Him. God was walking in the garden with Adam and Eve. He created Adam and Eve for fellowship, for companionship, partly. And then one day, they sinned, and He came down, and where are you guys? He couldn't have fellowship with darkness. Because of their sin, He was separated from them. Just like we are with sin. But as Christians, we can be reunited with Christ. We can have that fellowship just like walking in the garden. Prayer is our access to God. Are you making good use of it? Or are you neglecting your prayer life? Are you drawing close to God? We should be preparing for a banquet, a wedding banquet. As Christians, Revelation tells us about that. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and His bride has made herself ready. We need to make ourselves ready. If we don't even know who God is, are we ready? No, we need to draw close through prayer and meditation and in worship. How can you live a life proclaiming the good news of the gospel as Christians? How can we do that if we don't really draw close to God? If we don't know His heart and who's on His heart and the direction that we should take our life? As I mentioned, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray continually, pray without ceasing, pray without stopping. How can you do that? It seems overwhelming. But it's just a life connected to God, talking to God, conversing with God, getting to know your God. There was a man named Stuart Scott. He's a sports newscaster, very famous guy. He died this last month. And he received an ESPY award recently. And I watched some of his talk. He said, his friend said that he could barely get out of the hospital bed. He could barely get his suit on. He could barely get to the ESPYs. But he stood there and he talked about the cancer that he had. And he said, I used to say, I'm fighting, I'm making it. But he said, I'm going to amend that. And now I'm going to say, when you die, cancer doesn't beat you. You beat cancer by how you live, why you live, and the method in which you live. And I think Christians should grab hold of that thought and say, life doesn't beat you when you die. Because of how we live,
and why we live, and the method in which we live. Is God pleased with your prayer life? I would hope so. Are you glorifying God with your life? Are you reaching other people with your life, with your actions? Are you sharing the good news with others? We need to get ready for a wedding banquet. And a big part of it is prayer, getting to know God and drawing closer to Him. So that's your challenge for this year, is to have a better prayer life. All of us have a prayer life, but we all can have a better prayer life. I challenge you to make this year a better prayer life. Every day, draw close to God, get to know Him like David knew Him. In 1 Peter it says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their prayers." In John 9 it says, "But if anyone is God-fearing and does His will, He hears him." God hears us. He desires to hear from us, and it's part of our responsibility. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You that You've given us that opportunity to pray directly to You. That we can give You our needs, but also we can give You adoration. We can worship You in prayer. Lord, I ask that You would help us to be better men and women of prayer. That we would desire to pray without ceasing. That we would desire to learn who You are, and that You would get to know us better through our prayers. Lord, I just think that we have so much potential here. Help us to grow in this. Help us to be known for prayer and for our worship. Lord, I ask that You'd bless our week ahead, and I thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you'd all stand for closing worship.